This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. You hear the phrase troubled company a lot. Sometimes it's a bit hyperbolic. Yahoo, for instance, yes, is in a bind, has been for a while, but there is talk of at least one $3 billion bid for its core assets on the table. Valeant Pharmaceuticals, on the other hand, is pretty much a hot mess. It is smack in the middle of a slew of federal and state investigations for price gouging. The company's shareholders, big Wall Street hedge funds mostly, are scrambling to salvage their investments and their reputations. Bethany McLean is a contributing editor at Vanity Fair. She's got the story of Valeant and its troubles in the magazine's current issue. Bethany, it's good to have you on again.
Thanks for having me.
Place to start, I think, with this company and this article is Michael Pearson, the now former CEO of Valeant, right? Tell us a little bit about him.
So what's fascinating about Mike Pearson is how he became such a cult leader with very smart, supposedly very smart investors on Wall Street. He's an unlikely cult hero in that he didn't seem like the master of the universe type that these sort of guys would normally follow. And yet he exerted this strangely powerful hold over his many, many followers, such that even when it was obvious to outsiders that the business wasn't what it was cracked up to be, these investors who followed him just simply couldn't see it.
Is it too simple to say that the business model was to buy up either companies or drug patents and essentially jack up the price?
I don't think it is too simple to say that. I think it's becoming quite clear that that is exactly what the business model was. Defenders of the company would always argue, well, that's just around the edges. There's a whole substantive business here that doesn't rely on this at all. But we're seeing now that remaining business is very weak. The stock price cracked, and it's down some 90%. It's been the loss of something like $90 billion in market cap, which if you think about it is bigger than Enron, bigger than Bernie Madoff. This story is an unmitigated disaster, both for patients and for investors, although one set arguably doesn't deserve it at all, and the other set arguably deserves it quite a bit.
Give me a for instance. You start the piece with what is called in the trade an anecdotal lead about these two women had this copper deficiency and they needed one of these Valeant drugs to live.
Well, that was actually how I got started on this story, is that one of the women is a friend of mine, and somehow we were talking a little bit about Valeant, and she said, oh, I know that company. I have Wilson's disease. And Wilson's disease is a disease where you can't properly metabolize copper, and it's fatal. You die of either liver disease or neurological conditions. It's not pleasant. And a British pharmacist in the 1950s came up with two pretty simple drugs to treat these diseases. He was just monkeying around. This wasn't some big, elaborate billion-dollar R&D process. Called Cyprine and Cupramine. And for years, Merck, the big pharmaceutical giant, owned these drugs and sold them for a dollar a pill. And then Merck sold these two drugs to another firm who then in turn sold them to Valeant. And Valeant began to hike the price of the drugs. Today, one of them, Cyprine, is now about $300,000 a year.
And you need these drugs to live if you have Wilson's disease.
That was sort of Mike Pearson's argument, which was because people need these drugs to live, either the people or the insurance system will pay any amount to keep them alive because, hey, it's cheaper than liver failure. Although now it came out in recent congressional testimony that actually the cost of a liver replacement is cheaper than the cost of Cyprine.
The through line of this company and its history with its investors and really the whole deal is shareholder value, right? Mike Pearson was jacking up these prices to increase the share price of his company stock. Investors wanted that. They made boatloads of money. And yet it all turns out to have been a sham.
So that, to me, is the heart of this and why it's a larger story than even this story, is that it was all done in the name of this concept of shareholder value. For a long time, there was this kind of compact in the drug industry that, yes, we in the United States let you price your products at very high levels, but the sort of implicit trade-off was, and you're going to invest money in developing other products that might save people's lives. This company turned that on its head and said, oh, no, no, we're not going to do the investing. We're just going to make all the money that we possibly can by taking advantage of the pricing opportunities here in the United States.
Bethany McLean is a contributing editor at Vanity Fair magazine. Her most recent piece in the magazine this month is called The Valeant Meltdown and Wall Street's Major Drug Problem. Bethany, thanks. Always good to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
I swear we didn't plan it this way, but if we could have, we would have. In the second half of the program today, the first installment of a week-long series looking at shareholder value and what happens when corporations make that their strategy.